I'm Brad Locke, and you are listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, James. Have you ever heard of that movie? I think it's called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Yes.
Well, I haven't, but it could be about this time of year for us.
I think so.
There's everything going on, and it's happening. I mean, tennis, baseball, softball, track and field is in the postseason. Spring football. I had another update on Andrew Brown, the runner. Mm-hmm. he got a couple minutes to speak in front of the state senate on Tuesday, which was cool, and they recognized him for all he's done. But anyway, we've got quite a bit to touch on this episode of Prep Rally. Brad and James here with you on this Wednesday, April the 24th, along with, of course, trusty old Podgator. And I don't know, let's just start with the tennis, James. The team championships were held Monday in Oxford and Vicksburg. And three area teams came home with titles. Lafayette winning in 5A, New Albany winning again in 4A, and Saltillo winning its very first title, taking the 6A crown. You got to go to Oxford and cover that one, so that's where Lafayette was playing. And, you know, they've won several titles as well, so this was not that surprising.
It wasn't that surprising, but it was not won very easily. Yeah. Once it started between them and Stone, who I believe themselves have at least one state title recently,
yeah.
You know, the energy for a lot of portions of the day, it just kind of felt as if Stone was going to come away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like with each game they won and set, you could just sort of start to feel it kind of overweighing Lafayette. But what it came down to was a boys doubles between Finn Rico and DJ Hayes. Finn has been playing for a couple of years, but this was DJ's first year playing, and they came down to a third set. They were down 7-5, and they scored the last 5 points to win game, set, match, fourth straight championship. But it was really fun to see and really fun to be able to cover. A really great job by the Commodores.
What a great name, Finn Rico.
Yep.
Rolls off the tongue as one word, really.
Yeah, sounds looks good on paper too.
Okay, sorry. Then New Albany winning its 15th team title, 6th in a row, even with a new coach Shane Sanderson, who everybody should know who he is. He's been coaching for a long time. He's been at New Albany for quite a while as AD and as tennis coach. And then when Susie Bowman retired after last season, he took over as tennis coach. So he took a little different approach to things. It didn't really jibe with all the players at first, but they came around and they got on the same page, and they ended up taking the 4A title again. And then Saltillo, like I said, won its first state title. It was the fourth straight year they'd reached the state semifinal round. They had lost each of the three previous years, but this year they got over that hump. And so they took the 6A crown. Josh Griffin, the head coach, the 12th year there, so he's been working toward this for a long time. So congrats to all of those state champions. Some coaching news, big news that dropped late last week. Justin Reed is going to resign at the end of the season as Tupelo's baseball coach. Justin has been there for 9 seasons. He's won 160 games and won a state title in just his second year at Tupelo. So he accomplished a lot, and you know, coaching all those years in 6A and now 7A this year, it's if you've watched it for long enough, you know how tough it is to, you know, just to win a playoff series in that classification, never mind winning the whole thing. And his team is in the playoffs again this year. The Golden Wave will open this weekend against Hernando in the 7A playoffs, at Hernando Friday, at Tupelo Saturday, back at Hernando Monday if needed. So, yeah, that's Justin, you know, not from Tupelo. He's a native of Louisville, went to high school there. He ended up coaching there at one point, but then he came to Tupelo and just said it's like his home now. And, of course, his son, Lake, is a senior on the team. He's got he also has a daughter who's got a couple of years of school left, so he just thought it was a good time. And he's going to stick around and be basically the facilities grounds manager for Tupelo. So he'll be overseeing all the, you know, baseball field, softball field, all that good stuff. So great coach, and you know he's only 43. You know what they say about coaches, James? They never really retire. You know, because a lot of these guys come back in some capacity as part-time. And as young as he is, I got to feel like someday he'll be back on the bench.
Definitely, because goes with really whatever level. The drive never really goes away, even when you retire. But
and then once you get the empty nest, you're like, okay.
Yeah, that plays a really big factor. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out because, yeah, as you said, he could coach for a lot longer if he wants.
Oh, yeah. But he's happy to be to make this move right now. So good for him. This will be a highly coveted job. A lot of applications will be filed for this one.
Both internally and externally.
Exactly. And they hope to have a hire made by before school lets out for the summer. So we'll keep you all posted on that. Oh, man, spring football has begun for pretty much everybody by this point. I got out to Tupelo on Tuesday. They started this week. The Golden Wave coming off a pretty good season last year, 9-3, lost in the second round. That's not what they expected to do after making the North Final the year before, but they've got a lot of good pieces coming back. They got some new pieces that are coming back after being gone for a while, namely the quarterback Noah Gillen transferred back to Tupelo after 2 years at Boonville. They've got Brian Jones, the special teams coordinator who had previously coached at Tupelo. He's back. Have a new defensive coordinator, Daniel Young. He's already with the team and running his players through drills. And then you got some guys back with experience as Tupelo players like Tyreek Darden, the receiver, J.J. Hill, the running back, Jarelyn McCoy, the big defensive end. There was a coach from Ball State there at practice yesterday, and he was looking at several of those guys. Then he saw Jarelyn, you know, who's like, what, 6'7", 6'8", 250-something. Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, is that McCoy kid, that big kid McCoy? He's like, yeah. He's like, ooh, wow. And, of course, he's, what, a 5-star, isn't he?
Yep, 5-star. Believe he is the number one player in the state, according to 24/7. He's got about a dozen FBS offers already somewhere.
And he's just a sophomore at the moment. He's got 2 years left. It's insane. So a lot of those guys have got some really good offers. Tyreek and JJ and Noah has some as well. They got other good players like Iverson McCoy that are coming back He's coming back in the secondary. We'll play some safety, some cornerback. But anyway, so it's a lot of like getting to know again, refamiliarizing themselves with each other with guys like Gillen and, like I said, the assistant coach coming back, already familiar with the program. So a lot of introductions and reintroductions being made for the Golden Wave. You got out to Baldwin. You'll have an update in tomorrow's paper, James, and the Bearcats. Coming off a pretty good season. Got some guys back at key positions. Dylan Johnson at quarterback, Terrell Robinson at running back. And you talked to Terrell, didn't you?
I did, and he was talking about how you know, there's a lot of new guys coming in, and they want to be able to work more as a team, and they want to be able to make sure that those young guys get a lot of reps, because the idea is that the more reps they get now, the more prepared they'll be for late in games throughout the season, in games late in the season like district play and late in the playoffs, so that the idea is you get in more time now, you'll be more ready for times like that.
Yeah, and Baldwin's always going to be in the mix there in 1A. So anyway, look for James's update in Thursday's prep notebook in the Daily Journal. Some updates from the Diamond now. We're in the midst of the playoffs. We had the first round finally wrap up officially for everybody. Had a few games Tuesday. So the first round is done for classes 1A through 4A. The teams in 5 through 7A get started this weekend. I got out to Houston on Monday. The Houston softball team was hosting Tishomingo County in a Class 4A series. Tisch County won Game 1, 8-1, and they came in on Monday and dominated in Game 2 to sweep the series. The final score, 13-5, banged out 13 hits. First time I've seen Tisch this year, James, in that lineup, top to bottom, there's like not a weak link. Was it you or Brendan that had seen them earlier this season?
Brendan had seen them beat
it. But he agreed with me when I mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, they had beaten Itawamba, and as many, many teams will tell you, that's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, they scored 5 runs in 8 innings against Layla Owens, the really good Itawamba pitcher. I feel like you can get 5 runs against her, you got to feel really good. So that tells you how good that offense is. And again, I mean, the top 3 hitters in the order in that game against Houston, the top 3 hitters in Tisch County's order combined for 8 hits.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty good. But they got contributions throughout the lineup. 10 different players had at least one hit and or at least one RBI. So they move on to take on Wes Lauderdale in the next round, and that is a tall order right there. Going to baseball, New Albany won its series by defeating Northeast Lauderdale on Tuesday. The bats were working good for New Albany, weren't they?
Yep. From what I've seen from New Albany, they're very much the kind of team that's just kind of, no matter what happens early on, they're just going to keep putting the bat on the ball. And the results might not show themselves immediately, but when they show up in a big, big way. I think in this game in particular, where Drew Wheeler wanted to really emphasize getting hits with runners in scoring position and getting hits with two outs. Mm-hmm. They started off about 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position, and by the time the game was over, they were 8-for-15.
Wow.
And so it really paid off, and it just came from putting the bat on the ball, being active on the bases, and capitalizing on mistakes. And that's a really successful style of offense if you can execute it properly.
Yeah, and so New Albany advances to the next round, and that brings us to the next segment of our Diamond Updates. Let's look at what's coming up this weekend in the baseball and softball playoffs. Again, round two for classes 1A through 4A. And we'll hit on that first. Of course, we just talked about New Albany. And so now the Bulldogs have to take on Kosciuszko this weekend. Don't know much about them. We got an interesting matchup here, South Pontotoc and Tishomingo County. We got Itawamba AHS and West Lauderdale. Should be pretty good. West Lauderdale is usually a very strong team. Itawamba, of course, having a very good season. We got Boonville and Moorville in 3A. We got East Webster and Kossuth as well in 3A. Let's see who else we have that kind of stands out here in 1A. We always have a bunch of area-on-area matchups in 1A. We got Baldwin and Pine Grove. We got Tupelo Christian against West Union. And then, like I said, 5A through 7A starts this week. I mentioned Tupelo playing Hernando. Oxford is taking on Germantown. And Starkville, these are all 7A. Starkville is taking on Lewisburg. Got Saltillo and Ridgeland in 6A. Got a few in 5A. Lafayette is taking on Holmes County Central. Pontotoc against Greenville. Corinth against Cleveland Central. So softball as well. You got I think Saltillo Vicksburg in 6A softball, and several teams in 5A. In fact, it's funny, you know, Lafayette, I mentioned, I think, on the podcast last week, how Lafayette might sneak up on some teams in the playoffs. I mean, they are a 4 seed, but they beat New Hope twice to end the season, knocked New Hope out of first place, gave Pontotoc the 1 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And so New Hope's now the 2 seed. But anyway, Lafayette opens against Cleveland Central in the 5A playoffs. Pontotoc gets Greenville. And so, anyway, we've got all the schedules and scores up at djournal.com, so check them out. Let's wrap it up with the Athletes of the Week nominees. You can go to our Twitter page, at djournalsports, to vote for male and female Athletes of the Week. Female nominees this week, Olivia Garrett of Boonville, Lakin Harden of Belmont, and Jolie Young of Hickory Flat. Male Athlete of the Week nominees, Brewer Bailey of Tupelo Christian, Noah Canton of Alcorn Central, and Rush Watkins of Baldwin. Again, go to at @DJournalSports on Twitter and vote for Athletes of the Week. Polling will close about noon Thursday. So thanks for joining us here on Prep Rally. Again, we come to you every Wednesday. Find us on iTunes, Spotify, any of your podcast apps. Follow me on Twitter at Brad Locke. Follow James at JS Murphy Media. Check out our sponsor, Pizza Doctor, at Midtown Point in Tupelo. And I guess that's it. So see y'all next week.